Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Lee Skoryski, and I'm part of the fitness and health staff with Momentum and also your host today. I'm a nationally certified personal trainer, a weight loss specialist, and food coach. And if you have any questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, Momentum has answers. Each week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them. So tune in every week at 3 p.m. Central Time or listen to archived broadcasts by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio. You can also find helpful videos at findingyourmomentum.com and on Facebook. Just search for Momentum Fitness and Health. So today's topic is protein, the building blocks of life. Protein in our diets is one of the more controversial nutrition topics today. And questions abound, such as what is it, what is protein, why is it important, are there good and are there bad proteins? Which is better, a high protein or low protein diet? How much protein do I really need? What are the best sources? And what about protein supplements? So today we're going to provide some insight into each of these questions, so hopefully you can make informed decisions about your diet. Let's start with a brief discussion of what is protein, why is it important in our diet? And protein is one of the three macronutrients required by the human body. And what is that? A macronutrient is basically something that our bodies need a lot of to survive. And the three are carbohydrates, so we think of fruit, vegetables, grains, etc., fat, olive oil, unfortunately butter, fat, and protein. And our bodies need each of these three to maintain health, so we should be suspicious of any diet that excludes one of these. Now, a major difference with protein is that unlike carbs and fat, our body doesn't store it. We have no reserves, so there's no reservoir to draw upon when we're running low, so we have to eat enough protein. So why? Well, protein is a component of every cell in your body. Our hair and nails are mostly protein. And you need protein to help your body repair cells and make new ones. It's important for growth, such as childhood, adolescence, pregnancy, and also to maintain our muscle mass as we age. And consuming high proteins has a lot of benefits beyond just our basic cell repair and growth. So think about these. It keeps our energy level and metabolism high. It speeds our recovery after exercise. It helps us build lean muscle. Helps us maintain a healthy weight, and it helps us curb hunger. It helps us feel full longer, and it takes longer to digest than refined carbs. On the flip side, eating too little protein or not enough varied protein can result in a variety of symptoms where we just feel bad. We can feel sluggish. We can have trouble losing weight, or we can have trouble keeping our muscles. We may feel fatigued. We can't concentrate. We get moody. We get pain. We get inconsistent blood sugar, slow wound healing. There's a lot of things that having too little protein can cause. So, critical to have it. Now, are there good and bad proteins? So, let's begin to answer this question by understanding how our bodies use protein. When it's digested, it's broken down into amino acids. Those amino acids are absorbed by the body, and they're transported to various parts of the body where they create or repair tissue. There's different types of amino acids, and these are really the key to understanding why it's important to eat enough and the right type of protein. So there's essential, non-essential, and conditional. Essential amino acids, they can't be made by the body, and they must be supplied by food. Importance of eating good quality proteins in our daily life. And they don't need to be eaten at one meal. The balance over the entire day is important. And there's 9 of these. The non-essential amino acids are made by the body from essential amino acids or in the normal breakdown of proteins. And there's 4 of these. Conditional amino acids are needed in times of illness and stress, and there are 8 of these. So the next time we're feeling like we've had a bad day at the office or a little off, maybe we should reach for a high-protein snack instead of soothing our soul with that dish of ice cream. Think about it. So when we talk about good versus bad proteins, we're really talking about quality protein. Food sources, whether they're plant or animal-based, that give our bodies all of these essential amino acids. Our bodies cannot manufacture them. So sources. USDA recently released their recommendations for food for us, their updated recommendations. Seafood, and the USDA recommends at least 8 ounces of seafood per week. Meats, such as beef, pork, etc. Poultry, eggs, nuts, seeds, and soy products, legumes, and dairy. All of these are varied protein sources. Now, for balance and flexibility, though, the USDA recommends that we vary our protein sources throughout the week across these groups, so not just one particular source. And why is that? Well, protein foods are important sources of other nutrients, micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals. And those nutrients differ by the various types of protein we have. So if we only eat one type of protein, we could be shorting our bodies of some essential micronutrients. Let me give you a couple of examples. Seafood provides the most vitamin B12. That's important for healthy nerve and blood cells. And vitamin D for healthy bones. And also polyunsaturated omega-3 fatty acids, a powerful anti-inflammatory. That's one of the reasons why the USDA recommends at least 8 ounces per week of seafood. Now, eggs provide the most choline, and that's critical to normal liver metabolism. Nuts and seeds provide the most vitamin E, and in our bodies, it acts as an antioxidant, so it protects cells. Soy products and legumes are a source of copper, manganese, and iron, and these are important for healthy bones and blood. Now, meats, poultry, seafood also provide a more bioavailable form of iron than plant sources, and that's especially important in young children and childbearing women. And that is not to say that 100% plant-based diet is not feasible, but it really is advisable to consult a registered dietitian or a nutritionist to make sure that your plant-based diet supplies complete nutrition. So then, are there bad proteins? Well, maybe. As I said, the USDA recently released their updated dietary guidelines, and they are recommending a lower intake of meats and processed meats. And why is that? Because those are associated with cardiovascular disease. And there's some evidence to indicate that they're associated with obesity. Doesn't say exclude them, but we really should look at the amount and reduce the amount of meats and processed meats as part of our portfolio of protein. Now, as I said, at the same time, the evidence is that the lean meats and lean poultry may contribute to important nutrients. So they can be a very beneficial diet component, but limit those bad proteins, the saturated fats, the trans fats, sodium, added sugars. So in other words, don't reach for that bologna sandwich. Have some lean chicken or salmon instead. So how much protein do we really need? And this is one of the major sources of confusion out there. You know, can I have too little? Yes, you can. Can I have too much? Yes. Now, how much is the right amount? Well, all the sources vary, or they give at least confusing information. So high amounts. There's some research that says that high amounts of protein can contribute to kidney disease, other ailments, but there's very little evidence that says consuming larger than recommended protein is unsafe, unless it's in that bad category that we talked about. So it's really an extreme amount of protein that can put our body into this kind of stress. But there are certain medical conditions where protein is not well tolerated. So always a good recommendation to refer to a dietitian and nutritionist, particularly if you have a protein tolerance issue. Now, what about these high protein diets, such as Atkins, Paleo, South Beach? A lot of criticism has been leveled at these, but they are effective for short-term weight loss. Tell me more. Some of the high-protein diets restrict carbohydrate intake so much that they can result in nutritional deficiencies or insufficient fiber, and that can cause you problems such as bad breath, headache, constipation. So any long-term restriction of carbohydrates or good carbohydrates is not recommended. Now, you should also limit, as we just said, the amount of saturated fat, trans fat, sodium, added sugars, you know, the processed meats, the heavily fat-laden meats, et cetera, because those can all increase your risk of heart disease. So in other words, if you choose a higher protein diet, choose lean meats and alternative sources of protein to round out your nutrition. Choose your protein wisely. Good choices: soy protein, beans, nuts, fish, skinless poultry, lean beef, pork, and low-fat dairy products. Avoid processed meats. Now, the quality of carbohydrates you eat is important, too. So cut those processed carbs from your diet and choose carbs that are high in fiber and nutrient-dense, particularly important if you're on one of the higher protein diets. Now, what about plant-based? We mentioned that earlier. Plant-based diets can be very nutritious, but you have to take a lot of care to balance your diet across plant-based protein sources to make sure that your intake completes that amino acid profile during the day. Again, consult a dietitian or nutrition for advice. Now, can you have too little? And here's where the recommendations of what our protein intake should be, they become a little bit muddled. So what's the recommended amount? USDA, tells us that if you're on a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, you should eat about 5.5 ounces of lean protein per day. That's about 40 grams. Doesn't seem like very much. American Academy of Sports Medicine says for adults, 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight. And that's about 68 grams of protein if you weigh 115 pounds, or about 10 ounces of lean protein. Wow, very differing. WebMD says 46 grams of protein for women, 56 grams of protein for men. That's about 7 or 8 ounces of lean protein. Didn't take into account how big you are, how old you are, etc. So could anything be more confusing? And how do I translate? Well, one thing to keep in mind when you're looking at all these sources is that 7 grams of protein is approximately 1 ounce of lean protein source. So 1 ounce of lean chicken is about 7 grams of protein. So if you're looking to make a translation between food labels or diet recommendations, use that conversion. 7 grams of protein is about 1 ounce of lean protein source. And we can use common sense. It is advisable to have some protein at every meal, but portion control is critical. So if you have 3 3-ounce protein portions during the day, it's about 9 ounces of protein. That's about 63 grams of protein, 5 to 600 calories. So if you're on a calorie-based diet of 2,000 calories per day, that's about 25% of your overall calorie intake, well within the recommended amounts. So good common sense principle, but things could vary. And here's the important things to keep in mind. When do you really need more protein? And there's a number of situations where we need, could be significantly more than the recommended amounts or the standard amounts, I'll call it. So our requirement could go from 9 ounces to 12 ounces or even 18 ounces of lean mean protein daily for a variety of reasons. What are they? So we talked about youth, adolescents, pregnant women. They are growing, and they need more protein for growth, so up to double that recommended amount. Losing weight. American College of Sports Medicine recently released their journal that says we should increase our protein intake when we diet up to 1.5 to 2 times the standard amount. really surprising recommendation that we need to increase our protein intake, not reduce it when we're dieting. And why is that? It's because we want to avoid burning our muscle as we diet, Dad. We want to increase our satiety so that we don't feel so hungry during the day. And thus, we get a greater ability to stick to that diet during this period of losing weight. So very, very important to keep in mind that when you are trying to lose weight, you need to increase your protein intake. The other item is aging. So as we get older, our ability to synthesize protein reduces. And, of course, to add insult to injury, with lack of exercise, our muscle mass decreases every decade past 40. So the more protein we eat, no matter what the timing, the better our bodies are going to be at building muscle as we're aging, particularly since we synthesize it lesser than we do when we are younger. So we sometimes, as we're getting older, need to double our protein intake to counteract fat muscle mass decrease and counteract the fact that we don't digest protein as well. Last category is athletes, and athletes need up to double the standard amount. Why? They are building and rebuilding muscles from workouts. Those workouts take it out of you, they rip the muscles, and then you need to rebuild them. That's how we build strength. So definitely athletes need more protein. So in the absence of any health contraindications that we talked about, let's make sure we're not robbing our bodies of this important macronutrient. We need enough protein. And make sure we're drawing upon a variety of protein sources so that we get quality protein, quality nutrients. So our last topic is, what about protein supplements? And I get a lot of questions from my clients about protein supplements and amino acid supplements. We see a lot of the gym athletes chowing down on the protein shakes and amino acid shakes before and after workouts. And do I really need to do that? First and foremost, if you're eating good whole food protein sources with your meals in enough proportion, you typically do not need to supplement, even if you are an athlete. And again, if we trade out our whole foods for supplements, we could be robbing our bodies of essential micronutrients. And we need those for good health. But that said, there may be situations due to jobs or other conflicts where we can't get all of our protein from whole foods. So protein powders or amino acid supplements could play an important role in our nutrition. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of my clients swear by their protein smoothie in the morning. It gets them eating breakfast. It gives them a great tasting meal that's balanced across those macronutrients, carbs, healthy fats, and proteins. It's easy and quick to make, and it's very satisfying. So if I choose this path of using protein supplements, what do I need to look for? If you use one of the protein powders, look for quality. It needs to contain all of the essential amino acids that we talked about. And one of the best measures of protein powder quality is something called BV, beta victor. How much protein is actually absorbed and utilized by the body. And this should be on the nutrition label. Look for something called BV. And if a protein powder has a BV of 100, it means that all of that protein absorbed has been utilized with none lost. And what scores the highest? Whole eggs score the highest of all foods with a BV of 100. Now, beans only have a BV of about 49. So the best overall supplements for BV are derived from whey and eggs, and that's followed by soy, casein, which is a milk derivative, and beef. So look for that critical number on the label to make sure you have good quality protein. And what about timing? Does it make a difference? Yes, it does. Having protein throughout the day with every meal and snack is paramount. It gives us a balance of macronutrients, and it increases our satiety and stabilizes our metabolism. Really important. And what about workouts? If we've had a very intense muscle workout, the one-hour window after our workout is the most important. And I usually recommend before workouts having a small snack of a balanced protein and carb, easily digestible, maybe 1 to 2 hours before. But more critically, a balanced protein carb meal within an hour of an intense workout. This is the optimal period to restore glucose and for amino acid uptake and synthesis in our muscles. Our bodies are amazing machines, though, so if you miss that window, our recovery mechanisms continue throughout the day. So if you miss that window, continue to feed the beast with protein throughout the day at every meal. Now, here is the climax in pièce de resistance of this broadcast. What you've all been waiting for, what's the best protein replenishment? Exercise, one of the best protein replenishments is chocolate milk. It's a great mix of carbs and proteins, good replenishment. And best of all, it satisfies our soul. So that's the end of our broadcast. A toast to you and good nutrition and good health. Take care.